This is Impeachment, a daily podcast from WNYC. It's Wednesday, January 8th. I'm Bridget Bergen, filling in for Brian Lehr. Despite former National Security Advisor John Bolton's promise to testify if subpoenaed, Senate Republicans are apparently now united in starting the trial of President Donald Trump with no guarantee that any witnesses will be called. Senator Susan Collins of Maine, one of those considered most likely to side with Democrats in requiring witnesses, said she's content to revisit the question after opening arguments.
I am open to witnesses. I think it's premature to decide who should be called until we see the evidence that is presented and get the answers to the questions that we senators can submit through the Chief Justice to both sides.
Senator Collins is up for re-election this year in a competitive state. We'll see how her actions during the impeachment trial help or hurt her. It's just one of the many things at stake. With me now, New York Times congressional correspondent Nicholas Fandos. Glad to have you here today, Nicholas. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hi, Bridget. Thanks for having me.
So it would have taken at least 4 Republican votes to require witnesses going into the trial. Why did Susan Collins of Maine and other swing state senators like Mitt Romney of Utah and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, who have both taken positions similar to Collins, why did they decide that it was in their interest not to go there yet?
Well, each senator had their own rationale, but they ultimately became convinced by Mitch McConnell, the majority leader's view that this trial should follow the procedures of the 1999 impeachment trial of Bill Clinton. There's very little modern precedent for how a presidential impeachment trial would work. It's basically just Clinton. And they agreed with him that you don't need to rule out calling witnesses altogether, but that you should get the trial started and hear what both sides have to say before you call these witnesses. Romney in particular has made very clear he's still going to support voting to call witnesses, including Bolton. Murkowski and Collins are open to that. So they may still side with the Democrats on that point, but I think they wanted to get things going, and they stuck with their party on this one.
So what I understand is there's talk about a vote to require, as you said, require the witnesses eventually, but in phase 3 of this trial, is there a phase 1 and phase 2 that you can describe here?
Well, I describe phase 1, which is what Leader McConnell laid out yesterday and says he has the votes for, is starting a trial, senators will have to take an oath. The Chief Justice will take an oath, get sworn in. They will hear a reading of the articles of impeachment, and then they will move directly, pretty directly at least, to opening arguments. So the House prosecutors, or managers as they're called, will be given a chance to argue their position. The president's lawyers will be given a chance to argue their position. And then senators can submit written questions to both sides to get answers. And so that is what constitutes phase 1. You might call a second phase the opportunity for the Senate to vote to dismiss the case on a majority basis after hearing those arguments. But assuming that there are not votes to do that, there are not 51 votes to dismiss the case at that point, there will then be an opportunity to vote on witnesses. Now, I'm going to confuse you slightly by saying the rules of these trials allow Democrats to probably make motions at almost any point. So Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, has promised that he's going to have a call for a vote on day 1. For the witnesses that he wants to see and make people like Collins and Murkowski go on record against them. Hmm. And so basically the effect of what Leader McConnell was able to do in consolidating his party is ensure that at the outset of the trial, those votes will fail because Collins and Murkowski and Romney have pledged to wait until later on to even consider calling witnesses. So, you know, it's all of this matters, or what it all boils down to, is that unlike in 1999, we're going to see a very partisan start to this process. And it's going to be messy, and Republicans and Democrats are going to look a lot like they did in the House, I think, which is at each other's throats. Mm.
I think you started to tease this out, but maybe you could go even a little bit further about the politics of what would have to happen in phase 1 and 2 for Democrats to make their case to Susan Collins and Mitt Romney and some of these other potential swing Republicans that witnesses should be called? Is there some, you know, threshold that they need to reach or barrier that needs to be crossed that would convince them?
Well, you know, it's a great question, and it's a hard one to answer right now because every senator is going to be hearing the opening arguments in different ways and having different outstanding questions. I think the bigger challenge is not going to be convincing Collins, Murkowski, and Romney to hear witnesses, but finding a fourth senator, a fourth Republican that wants to hear from them. I mean, so far, you know, when I ask Democrats and Republicans, they all struggle to come up with who that fourth senator might be to get to 51 votes. Remember, the Senate is divided 53-47. So Republicans, Democrats need four votes if they want to call witnesses. So I think you'd have to see either a very effective presentation by the House managers or some events outside of the trial. Say John Bolton decides to give a little tease of what he's going to have to say, or other documentary information comes out through public access lawsuits or news reports that kind of scramble the dynamics here. Now, the logic of the majority leader is once you get started, there's going to be so much pressure just to finish the trial that no fourth senator will come forward and we may never hear from witnesses.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi still has to transmit the articles of impeachment to the Senate. When and how will that happen?
Sure. So the speaker said late last night that she would do that soon. She has not put a specific date on it, but for the first time we could see a kind of specific and narrow demand that would seem to be her last one. She wants more details from Mitch McConnell about precisely what procedures he's going to be following so that she can decide what team of impeachment managers to send over to prosecute the case. You know, folks around her seem to think that that could happen or be resolved in the next few days, and the articles could go over late this week or early next week. And that would then officially start the trial process and initiate all these issues that we've been talking about in terms of how it will progress.
And just about those impeachment managers, you know, these are representatives from the House that will make the impeachment case before the Senate and the Chief Justice. Now that Pelosi has a better understanding of the arena and what qualities she's looking for, are there any names out there about who she's considering or, you know, what characteristics they need to have?
So I think that it's widely held assumption that Adam Schiff, the Intelligence Committee chairman from California, who oversaw the impeachment inquiry, is likely to be leading whatever team of managers she puts together. Jerry Nadler, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, who oversaw the drafting and ratification of the articles, is also very likely to be involved. And then there's speculation about who else would be on the team. Somebody like Val Demings from Florida, who's former law enforcement, was on both the Intelligence and Judiciary Committees. Hakeem Jeffries, who is the chairman of the House Democratic Caucus and thought to be a very effective messenger, former lawyer, is also, his name is being thrown about. But I think what Pelosi wants to decide is if there's a real chance that there's going to be witnesses, she wants people on that manager team who are either former prosecutors or have a lot of experience deposing witnesses who can cross-examine and examine witnesses and then present on what they find. So there's different names thrown about for those roles as well, but we don't quite know who they'll be yet.
Let's take a call. Mihalina in Riverdale, New York. Welcome to WNYC. What's your question?
Hi, thank you. I wanted to know if Trump is required to testify during the trial or if we get some sort of statement prepared or how does that work?
Nicholas, what is the requirements of the president during this trial?
It's a good question. The president is not necessarily required to testify. It's interesting in the language. And the Senate rules around impeachment, he is required to answer to the charges against him. But most likely that, or almost certainly that, will take the form of him sending lawyers to the trial to represent him. Now, senators could vote to demand testimony from the president. That wouldn't be unheard of. But I think the idea that if Democrats are struggling to find four Republican senators to join them to call some fact witnesses, the idea that Republicans are going to be eager to put President Trump into a witness chair seems highly unlikely.
There's one other wild card, which is the president decides to march up to Capitol Hill himself to offer a defense or some sort of statement. I would say that would normally be out of the question, but with this president, obviously we never know. Can't imagine Mitch McConnell would be eager for that kind of display. Mm-hmm. But we'll see as time goes on.
Sure. Thanks so much for your question, Michelina. Nicholas, you've described the impeachment trial as an all-consuming time for the Senate. It takes them away from the other business, puts everything at halt. How fully at a halt will the business of the Senate come to if and when this trial takes place?
So under the rule, the kind of standing rules for impeachment of the Senate, they are to meet every day at noon, or in the Clinton trial, it was at 1 p.m. Six days a week, Monday to Saturday, and they take Sundays off, and are to remain seated essentially in trial until the case is dismissed or resolved with either an acquittal or conviction. So that is pretty darn all-consuming. Now, that is going to be tested in the present moment, I think, both because of the unfolding situation in the Middle East, mm-hmm. And the potential for a war powers debate, and also given that a kind of timeline that is ticking along on the president's trade deal with Canada and Mexico. So there is a possibility, I think, that the Senate could, if the trial is stretching on, make some decision to change its rules or affect its rules such that it could, either in the morning or at other times, take up some of these other legislative issues. I confess that I don't know a whole lot about the constitutionality of that, but it would seem to be within the Senate's purview to make that kind of choice.
Let's go to another caller, Eve in Manhattan. Welcome to WNYC. What's your question about the impeachment?
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, there's been a lot of talk about possibly adding more articles of impeachment based on emerging evidence. Can the Democrats add an article or more of impeachment during the trial, or would that necessitate a very different introduction and process?
It's a good question that I hear quite a lot. I think it's highly unlikely that the Senate would add an additional article. They could introduce new evidence that were to emerge over the course of the trial. And there is a small grace period right now, given that they have not transmitted the articles to the Senate, where suppose if some new offense came out, the House could decide to go through the whole process and vote again and wait and collect all of the articles and send them over. But every sign that I'm getting from House Democrats is that that will not be the case, that these are the charges they're going to bring, that they have concluded the process in the House, and they're just looking for some final assurances to bring the case forward to trial as it is.
Thanks so much, Eve, for your question. Nicholas, you've reported that some Democrats are trying to tie together the president's behavior toward Iran and Ukraine as part of an impeachable pattern. How does this recent attack on the Iranian leader figure into that?
So some Democratic leaders are eager to kind of keep these matters separate, but we've heard from activists on the left, from liberal lawmakers, that the latest action in the Middle East only add to their concerns about this president and the urgency for removing him from office. So the argument essentially is the president is recklessly putting the United States' interests at risk in the Middle East, and that this is an extension of the same kind of self-serving and erratic policy that is the very basis of the impeachment charges. They have to do with an entirely different country, a different region of the world, but it's the same underlying problem with the president. Therefore, we need to, get on with this process and try and get him out of office. Republicans, for their part, seem to be arguing something of the opposite, which is that, now that there is this threat of a conflict in the Middle East, that the commander-in-chief ought to be cleared all the more quickly from these charges of impeachment, which they have always argued are illegitimate and are more political than they are substantive.
Let's take another caller, Matt in Chicago. Welcome to WNYC. What's your question on impeachment?
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. What I want to know is, since Mr. Bolton's willingness to testify wasn't known during when Congress had control of the process, and since the articles haven't yet been delivered to the Senate, could Congress just take his testimony before delivering the articles?
Nicholas, what do you think of that?
Thanks, Matt. So your question is whether the House could call Bolton. And it certainly could if it wanted to. Now, and perhaps if the Senate decides not to ask Bolton to testify in the end, the House will try to do that, either in parallel with the trial or afterwards. But so far, Adam Schiff, who led the House impeachment inquiry, and Democratic aides around the Speaker suggest that that is not a very likely possibility. They see this process as being in the Senate. They see it as the Senate's obligation to call him. They're trying to exert pressure on the Senate to call him. So they're not going to do it themselves for now. I think that there's also, they recognize a potential issue. You know, Bolton said explicitly that he would testify in a Senate trial and be willing to defy White House orders ordering him not to in that context. But that was not the position, as you note, that he took when the process was in the House. And I think there's some fearfulness that they could call him and he could renege on this position or say, no, it doesn't apply to you. And this could turn into the kind of court fight that they never wanted in the first place. And then they just end up looking, somewhat silly for having pursued it. So for now, I think it may be Senate or bust. That could change as the trial goes on. If the House sees an opportunity, is diminishing in the trial context, that maybe they call him, but we'll have to wait and see.
Thanks so much for your call. Nicholas, I'm always fascinated with, again, the process that unfolds with these types of events. I know that a lot of the players are at this point still to be named, but who would give the opening arguments in this type of situation?
For the House, it is still somewhat in flux. I mean, we can imagine Adam Schiff playing a significant role in that. But, you know, in the Clinton trial, I think both sides had up to 24 hours to present their opening arguments. So that would suggest that, on the House side, they may break it up, offer different pieces to different managers to present. The White House team is still said to be somewhat in flux. Pat Cipollone, the White House counsel, is expected to play a lead role in presenting the president's defense. Jay Sekulow, one of his personal lawyers, will likely take part in giving that opening presentations. There's been some talk of including House Republicans whose names will be familiar with, Jim Jordan, John Ratcliffe, and others who played an outsized role during the impeachment hearings over there. In the defense, I think that's unlikely to happen. We're more likely to hear from these White House lawyers. But again, until the articles are sent over, those teams don't need to be finalized.
All right. Well, at this point, we're going to have to wrap it up. Nicholas, thank you so much for joining us here at WNYC.
It was my pleasure.
If you have impeachment questions, listeners, you can call them in and leave a voicemail. You might get to hear it on the show and get an answer from our guests. Call and leave a message. The number is 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-8255. Impeachment, a daily podcast, is excerpted from WNYC's live daily news talk show, The Brian Lehrer Show, which we also encourage you to listen to every day from 10 a.m. to noon. You can stream it live at WNYC.org. I'm Bridget Bergen, filling in for Brian. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll have more tomorrow.